Hey, Derek, you know, I really thought that I was going to start this podcast and we were going to be having a debate.
About
Burda Beef. You know, I'm a straight S&P guy. You know, 2 minutes aside, flip it once for grill marks. What do you think?
Huh?
Other people got the joke. And that's important.
Huh?
Derek, I'm at a loss. Okay. I have no idea how to start this episode because, Derek, tonight, the Carolina Hurricanes play in a Game 7 to advance in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You and I have never had the opportunity to do this. I don't know necessarily how to do this. So I went with just really random Letterkenny things.
Okay.
You know, and if you had said anything other than that, you would have been a sea-sucking hair away from getting sea-sucking socked.
But, I still haven't seen that show at all.
I don't think you're getting socked tonight. Derek. Game 7.
I'm both incredibly ready and not ready at all. Like, last night's game, or I'm sorry, Monday night's game was just so good, and we will talk about that more, but it's today is Game 7. I haven't seen a Game 7 in 13 years. I know we had one against Boston in 09. I was traveling at the time and only got to see the highlights. We all know what the highlight of that game was, and it involved Scott Walker's fist.
No, that was Game 6.
Oh, sorry, Game 6. Yes. My apologies, but leads up to Game 7. It's that kind of set a tone.
Yeah. And Derek, I'm actually you brought that up. So, yeah, the last Game 7 that the Carolina Hurricanes had a chance to be a part of was in the Eastern Conference semifinals with the Carolina Hurricanes facing the Boston Bruins. Mm. Scott Walker on that third line. We commonly refer to that as Walker! Walker! Walker and the Rats! Because it was just Scott Walker and a rotating door of Albany River Rats from the minor leagues. Because by that point,
the River Rats.
Yeah. We were a set of the walking wounded. But in Game 6, Scott Walker, who had been unbeknownst to most of us dealing with some major personal strife due to an illness with his wife, late in Game 6... finally had all he could have, and he couldn't have no more. And he punched Aaron Ward square in the face. One punch knockout.
Or wait, was that Game 5? Because didn't he get suspended for 6 and then came back in 7?
Maybe, okay, maybe that's... Here's all I know.
The corrections department will have this all sorted out for us. At least one of us is wrong.
Yes, so here's all I know. Aaron Ward, for the most part, has been persona non grata for most of Canes and Caniac Nation and Canes fans, whether we were blocked because of his issues previously with domestic violence and all of that.
Or just blocked because you made a bet with him about something, you paid up on the bet when you lost, and then he decided to block you anyway.
Well, Derek, I think if Aaron Ward wanted to attempt, I'm not saying this would fix it, but if he wanted to make an attempt to get back in the good graces of Canes Nation, Aaron Ward, I think, should offer to be punched in the face before tonight's game by Scott Walker. And you had a great idea to add into this.
Yeah. Not only does he agree that he's going to get punched in the face by Scott Walker,
which would be great,
but he's not going to know when. It could be Aaron Ward gets up, pours himself a bowl of cereal. You know, he puts the cereal back in the pantry. He goes to open the fridge, grabs the carton of milk, shuts the fridge door. Bam, there's Scott Walker's fist.
Right in the face.
Maybe it's as he's driving into the studio. Scott Walker pops up from the back seat. Does he have piano wire? No, he's got a fist.
He goes into the ABC 11 studios. He thinks he's about to talk to Mark Armstrong. Inside Mark Armstrong's inner pocket, a tiny little Scott Walker doll. Aaron Ward looks at it, looks at the camera, cameraman, Scott Walker, punches him in the face.
I thought you were going to say Mark Armstrong pulls off a Mark Armstrong mask, Scooby-Doo style, and Scott Walker's in there.
That's even better. First thing we got to do is get a Mark Armstrong mask. I love the idea of that.
Bridget, if you're listening, can we get a Mark Armstrong mask?
Yeah. I'm just saying that would be fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
And that's our last memory of a Game 7, Derek. Was the memory of everything that happened with Scott Walker. The only other playoff memory since then was Evgeny Malkin's backhand of doom that basically ended Cam Ward's career.
Yes.
For all intents and purposes.
Yes, absolutely. So our last memory of Game 7 is a good one.
Yes.
We go in not only with that good vibe, but we go in with Mr. Game 7. We go in with Jordan Staal, who has been very good in elimination games. We go in...
Stanley Cup champion Jordan Staal.
That's correct. Also Justin Williams, Stanley Cup champion. And we go in with the confidence of what happened in Game 6. I think that is really key. If you told me we had to lose either Game 5 or Game 6, but you're guaranteed a Game 7, I'd much rather win Game 6 and go in with that confidence. Plus, I like the way we won that game in Raleigh on Monday. It was fantastic. I cannot wait for puck drop tonight. I've got a good feeling, and that's both exciting and worrisome to me.
I have a feeling. I'm sad you didn't go full Black Eyed Peas there.
Oh, I will never, ever go full Black Eyed Peas. Ever.
Ever. We're going to talk about tonight's game. Great guest to talk about, not only about what's going on with the big club, but we're going to take a little trip down on the farm and talk to Spectrum News's host of Chevrolet Sports Night, Mike Salarte, former host of the Sports Bar on 850 The Buzz. Those of you who get that reference, thanks for listening, Joe Ovius.
Like, any word on who produced that show?
Yeah. Hey, man, it's back in the heyday. I'd like to go back, and again, they do. Lauren Brownlow does a good thing in this when she does topics and takes. She's had some really interesting conversations with Adam and Joe back to the early days of kind of the Raleigh sports radio and the heyday of sports radio. That stuff's fun. Lauren Brownlow, Topic and Takes podcast. I don't know if she's officially part of the Sports Channel 8 podcast family, but Sports Channel 8 is part of the WRAL family, so we're tangentially parallel, perpendicular, some sort of geometry to her.
You're on a roll. I'm not going to get in your way.
You know what you should do?
What's that?
Hit that damn X button.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's Game 7 edition of Cheaters Never Win. That's right. Cracking that bottle mix beer a little bit early.
Early?
Early and often.
One man's early is another man's late.
You know what, Derek? Why not us?
Why not?
My name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
We're still a part of the Sports Channel 8 podcast network. And still got great sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor of Cheaters Never Win for the 2019-2020 season, reach out to us now. Maybe you can get in on some discounts for some Stanley Cup tailgating and become a sponsor for next year. So reach out to us, mail@section328.com. We can talk to you if you'd like to be a sponsor for next year. We love our current sponsors. We hope they renew, but we're always open to people with really deep pockets.
So deep.
Deep they could put this podcast wherever they liked it.
Wow. All right.
Derek, live in-game update.
Boston is up 2-0 on Toronto.
With goals by Marcus Johansson and...
As everyone would have guessed before the series started, the guy who's going to score first in Game 7, Joachim Nordstrom.
A Hurricane legend, Joachim Nordstrom.
Yes, I think he was inspired by the fact that his former brethren... Andre Nestrashil sounded the siren last night.
God, it's so good to see Nesty. Yeah. Like, Adam Gold was throwing a little bit of shade that they chose Nesty, but I'm like, Nesty was really, for the fans, he did a great job of connecting with fans while yes. he was here, and I think that helped him become a bit of a fan favorite.
For me personally, he of the three guys who sounded the siren last night, he was the one I was happiest to see.
Andre Nestrashil, a less talented Jordan Martinuk. With maybe less booze in the system.
They're similar in that they both play hockey.
Well, they play hockey. They're beloved. They're supposedly good locker room guys. Can we talk about that post-game video where Marty's kicking it with the Marty party with the fans picking himself up a little snack on the way home last night?
Absolutely love it. And all the times we say how good Martinuk is to this team... It just reminds me that Cat Silverman knows hockey much better than we do.
Yeah. Kat told us the day that we obtained Jordan Martinook that he was immediately going to become a fan favorite. He was the type of guy who would do everything for you. And to hear everybody last night say Jordan Martinook getting out on the ice was a inspiration to them, and there was no way he wasn't playing last night. So, Derek, let's talk a little bit about Game 6. Actually, you know what? Let's go back to Game 5.
Yes, and let's talk about this quickly, shall
we? Let's talk about Game 5, Derek. Let's talk about it quickly.
Okay.
Right?
I think the game started off with Sekou Menelinen, and I learned just in the last week that it's Sekou, not Saku, but, you know, hey, learning is growing.
Hey, Sekou, say me. Say it together. Menelinen.
That was fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you. No one took that t-shirt idea. But I thought the game got off to a really poor start when he couldn't help himself but throw his body into the bevy of humanity in front of the Capitals net and get a 2-minute penalty. I think you could do what he did of trying to clear things out in a way that's not like flinging someone to the ice. And that 2-minute penalty just cascaded because our penalty kill was a dumpster fire. Our power play was somehow worse in Game 5. And it felt a lot like the opposite of Game 3 here in Raleigh, where about halfway through the game, you just kind of felt like the Canes were like, you know what? It's not our night. Screw it. Let's just get out of here. And the one thing that I did like a lot was Brendan Moore didn't pull Mrazek, keeping the streak alive now at now 88 games where the Hurricanes have not pulled their goalie.
Yeah, it was. I had the same conversation I had when I was watching the game with some folks. You know, is tonight the night he's going to give Mrazek a break, put McElhinney in? And someone brought up a good point in that, what if McElhinney was great? Like, just lights out, and the team had some sort of miraculous comeback. You kind of got to play McElhinney in Game 6 then, if that's the case. And mm-hmm. I don't think – I like Curtis. I think he's handsome. I think he's been a great – I think he's been great for this team. I think he has been a steadying force. I don't want Curtis McElhinney in net the rest of the way.
You too, huh?
Yeah. Like the guy. Like the guy. I look forward to seeing what he does as the overpaid backup in Columbus next year.
And I don't think Columbus is going to take him back, but I like the way that Mrazek, because all goalies are a little bit crazy, and I mean that in a loving way. Like, you know, talking to the goalposts, having more superstitions than the average hockey player, which is a pretty high threshold to begin with. But Mrazek, like, he seems to feed off of a crowd more than most goalies that I've ever seen, whether it's his play or his energy or him going to break up fights that are about to start because he knows his teammate's going to do something stupid. The way he has fed off of the home crowd has been fantastic, and that's a big part of the reason I think you keep him in net is he's kind of keeping that positive mojo going in a similar way that Martinook is. They're just guys who are feeding off the energy and keeping that positive vibe going.
Yeah, Game 5, again, I think it's the flip side, right? There was a coming, you know, midway through the second, end of the second, you could just feel the negative vibes, the negative energy. It didn't feel like, regardless of what happened, the Canes were going to break through. And playoff games are miraculously like that, right? I mean, Game 1 kind of felt like, yeah, this isn't happening. Game 2, you felt like you had a chance.
Yep.
For the first two periods last night, you weren't really sure exactly what was going to happen, which way it was going to go. But then the third period came, and there was enough energy in the building and from the team on the ice and behind the bench, and you just knew that there was going to be a positive outcome. And sure enough, Game 6 closed with a win. It's just that this has been such an interesting and unique series. I think first and foremost, welcome to the rivalry.
Oh, yeah.
This is how rivalries start. And from the fans to the celebrity fans to the biased broadcasters to the players on the ice, I think after six games, I mean, and when I think this also goes back to the last two games of the regular season where there was a little chippiness in those last two games where Washington kind of handed it to us a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then six games into this playoff series with a Game 7 forthcoming, I think this is the type of thing that allows you to build a rivalry. The Canes haven't had a rivalry on the ice in a very, very long time. I look forward to this, hopefully, becoming a rivalry that we can all get up for, we can all get excited about, and it kind of transfers over into future seasons, much like the Penguins-Capitals rivalry has.
Yeah, going back, I mean, it's amazing what one playoff series can do, because I'm not saying it's the only reason, but the biggest reason that this fan base feels the way that we do against the Buffalo Sabres.
Buffalo.
Is that 2006 series, whether it was Lindy Ruff's comments of their champagne in the locker room, whether it was fans' behavior or fans' complaints that, oh, Buffalo was too hurt, and these sort of things of like things that happen in the playoffs. If it was Buffalo fans using pint glasses as projectiles at Canes fans in the parking lot, it was all of those things, a lot of which I hope I'd never have to be witness to again, but that led to a lot of spirited contests over the next decade. And this one series could very well do that, especially because we're a divisional foe with Washington. So we're going to play them several times a year as opposed to Buffalo, which is like, you know, 2 to 3.
Yeah. And the Canes, again, as a young and upcoming team, Washington as a team, I think has potentially a limited window of maybe the next couple of seasons before Ovi gets just... I mean, gosh, he's playing so great. I know this is going to be an unpopular opinion because he has been a bit of an asshole. But, folks, part of
Yes, the fact that he's been a bit of an asshole is probably going to be an unpopular opinion.
The reason he's so great is because by the time it gets to the playoff, he's an asshole. You know who else was an asshole on the ice last night? Justin Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Every time he had a chance to frustrate Braden Holtby, to touch Braden Holtby, to hit Braden Holtby, he took every advantage of that, and eventually it paid off. I have not seen that version of Justin Williams in weeks, and it was so good to see our father, our Lord and Savior, Justin Williams on the ice last night.
Maybe going a bit far for some, but I think there's a big difference.
Jacob Slavin.
I think there's a big difference between the brand of assholery that Ovechkin brings to the ice. And for those of you who listen to the podcast for a while, you've heard me say that in addition to him being the greatest goal scorer of all time, is my favorite hockey player. That has changed in this series. And it's not because of the fight with Svechnikov. That was a big component. But the bigger component to me are the cheap shots and the slashes and the elbows to the head that have gone somewhat uncalled. Those are the things that irritate me more so than the fight. He's done those things, which, you know, at the very least makes him a habitual line stepper, if not a line crosser, whereas Justin Williams is doing those little things that don't get to the threshold of being a penalty. You know, he'll nudge the goalie. He'll probably say something disparaging in there, but it's not slashing someone in the shins and then clapping at the refs while barking obscenities at the refs, like, to quote a friend of ours, a little piss baby.
Oh, wow. Wow. Hey, Washington Capitals fans, he is at D. Russell over on the Twitters. He just called Ovechkin little piss baby.
Yeah, and that's the reason I didn't say who I got that term from, because bring me your Twitter hate. Don't send it to other people.
I can't wait till his mixtape drops.
Little piss baby?
Little piss baby, his mixtape. It's going to be so good.
All little piss baby. He's going to be with Sirloin and, God, who are the other guys from Aqua Teen Hunger Force? But anyway, they'll be at 612 Wharf Avenue, right next to the Gentleman's Club. I hope the four people listening who got that reference appreciated it.
There you go. I've been thoroughly pleased with this playoff round. It's been everything I wanted. If we went back to where we were at in December, and any of us have said we're going to have, and correct me if I'm wrong here, what is it, a combined 13-4 goal score against the reigning Stanley Cup champions in three home games and taking them to a game seven, I would have been thrilled with that. And it has been so much fun in the arena. While as hard as some of the away games have been to watch and to stomach, these three home games have reignited a passion between this franchise, these players, and this community that has been so been so absent for so long, because not only are we going to the games, but people are going out early and the tailgates are great. And we'll talk about tailgates and thank sponsors and all of that. But even after the games, you know, there is a 30, 45 minute kind of just post game wind down, because I think all of us, to a human, can't be like, okay, I'm going to get in the car and go home and go to sleep and go to work the next day.
No,
because I'm just too amplified. I was lying in bed last night here at the Section 328 Worldwide headquarters, just scrolling Twitter, talking to people until like 12:30 last night, because there was no way. Like, I put my phone down and tried to sleep. And went, nope,
can't sleep.
Can't sleep.
Cloud will eat me. Yeah, I woke up to a lot of notifications and figured that had to be you active on the bird machine.
You could tell by the misspellings and the bad grammar.
Ah, damn, there's something I was going to say about this series. Oh, yeah, the other good thing is, you know, if you said before the series going in what the cumulative score would be at home, if you said in December, in March, hell, if you told me 13 days ago that the Carolina Hurricanes would have more combined playoff wins than Pittsburgh, Calgary, and Tampa, I'd have called you a liar. But that's the case. Those three teams combined had a playoff win. We have three. So no matter what happens, this has been fantastic. And I think what, you know, Mike, what you were saying is for this fan base to get these three wins at home, to feel the energy in that building that we have not felt for at least a decade, has been unbelievable. And I don't know if it's recency bias or just the fact that I've missed it for so many years, but these three home games have been three of probably the five loudest, most amazing experiences in that building that I can remember.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. And Derek, I'll even take it a step farther. If I told you that of the all-time Carolina Hurricanes coaches, of which there have been five, Paul Maurice.
Boo.
Peter LaViolette.
Eh.
Kirk Muller.
Eh.
Paul Maurice. Bill Peters. And Rod Brind'Amour.
Yay!
At this, the basically last 7-8 days of April, the only one left standing in the Stanley Cup playoffs is going to be Rod Brind'Amour. You would have called me a dirty liar.
Absolutely.
I mean, because these were Peter LaViolette and Paul Maurice were supposed to play again in the second round, and that team was supposed to play the winner of this Vegas-San Jose series to figure out what's going on. Bill Peters, I mean, if his team could make a fucking save, I mean, he still might be in it. I mean, too bad he used up that speech on Eddie Lack, you know, a season and a half too early.
Eh.
Hey, Bill. Fuck you.
Big listener, Bill Peters.
I hope he's listening at his frickin' Alberta barbershop while he's getting the same damn haircut, drinking his tasty, delicious water that quenches him so well.
Yeah, I say, you know what? I hope somebody gave him unfiltered water.
Unfiltered water?
Yeah.
You know what? You know what I would enjoy more than Scott Walker punching Bill Peters? You know that,
what, Scott Walker punching Bill Peters?
No, Scott Walker punching Aaron Ward.
I was like, Jesus, this is taking a turn. Is Scott Walker just your hitman now? Like, anybody you have a mild grievance with related to the game of hockey, you just like send Scott Walker out like he's a messenger pigeon? Go, you know, punch in face.
The old internet meme where someone comes up behind somebody and you hit somebody.
God.
I want somebody to do that to Bill Peters so bad to just mess up his haircut once. I'm looking at you, Mike Fail. You're in Calgary. Go get him.
Please note that we don't directly encourage this behavior.
And semi-indirectly, it's a joke. I would never encourage.
No.
I would never want anyone to do it officially. But if someone decided they wanted to do it of their own volition, I would find it amusing.
No, Mike, we absolutely don't want that.
Never.
I think we
covered our asses there pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
We have scotch guarded the hell out of that segment.
You know what? Let's get the hell out of this segment. Let's go to tonight's special guest on the Fathom Realty guest line.
This is Don Meyer with Fathom Realty, official realtor of Section 328. You can find me at becauseitshome.com. I am as passionate about helping you make your next move as I am about the Carolina Hurricanes. On average, homes sold by my firm sell 78 days quicker than other homes on the MLS, getting money in your pocket sooner. Buyers also get exclusive strategic representation in the seller's market. Contact me at becauseitshome.com to learn more.
Derek live on the Fathom Realty guest line. We have, I would give his whole history, but you'd make fun of me for giving his whole history. So I will just say that he is the man in Charlotte when you want to talk sports. He is Mike Salarte, host of Chevrolet Sports Night on Spectrum News every weeknight at 10:30. Mike, welcome back into Cheaters Never Win. Little stick and puck talk. How's your defensive game coming?
My defensive game is thankfully not needed at this point of the at the big club level. I might need to suit up for forward though. There's so many bodies down for the big fellas, but yeah, we're doing okay. We're doing okay. We're keeping the puck out of the net. So the beer league stuff down in Charlotte's been fun, but a lot of attention focused on the Hurricanes right now. This has been just an incredible series.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you, because I know like fans in Raleigh don't get into the Hornets for the most part the way that folks in Charlotte do. What's the reciprocity like since the Checkers are in the playoffs, and that's certainly taking some hockey attention from the folks in the Queen City? How much does Charlotte care, and how much are they invested in the Hurricanes playoff run right now?
You know, it's hard for me to tell, okay? And I say that with this as my backdrop. During the games, I'm either watching them on the weekends at home or I'm watching them on the TV here in my office. So I'm not out in the city to see if people are watching it, you know, the local sports bars and that sort of thing. You know, I get a lot of traffic on Twitter, you know, people asking me Hurricanes questions and some Checkers questions at this time of the year. But, you know, it's hard for me to judge is really the long and short of it. The Checkers fans that I know are all in with both the Checkers and the big club. And, you know, of course, hockey people are my people. So I'm probably the wrong person to ask because of the folks that I run with. Well, I'd say, well, everybody loves the Hurricanes down here. But I know that that's not entirely 100% accurate. So I would say that there is some interest. And personally, I would like to see more interest. But there might be more out there that I just haven't seen with my own eyes is basically the long and short of it.
Well, Mike, you talked about the team down on the farm, the Charlotte Checkers. They are two games in to their playoff run, one win, one loss up there in Providence, game three Wednesday night, back over in Bojangles Coliseum. Big suspension happened. I know we've got our boy Trevor Carrick out for the rest of this series, a three-game suspension for leaving the bench. What's the feel around the Baby Hurricanes with two of their key defensemen now gone, Yanni Kuokkanen out for the playoffs after surgery, and some of the better bodies currently residing in Raleigh?
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is that these suspensions come at a bad time for the Checkers because you lose Trevor Carrick for at least three games, and that could be the end of this series and the start of the next one. You know, it's just got to be three. And you lose Bobby Sanguinetti for a game. Sanguinetti's one-game suspension comes for as a result of a check to the head of a player, which I saw the video. I get it. But the suspension given to Carrick, I'm not so sure I agree with. I really, you know, I also saw that video. And if it's sequentially edited the way that I think it is, then Providence had scored an empty net goal and Carrick was coming on the ice to change. And the wording in the suspension, and I think I actually have that right here. The wording in the suspension was that he was suspended for joining. Let me see where it is. It was supplemental discipline for leaving the player's bench and a legal line change for the purpose of joining an altercation. Well, that doesn't even make any sense. I mean, you're basically saying he left the bench to go join a fight, but play was stopped because as a result of a goal, so he was legally allowed to be on the ice to change, mm-hmm. and so they're saying they just sent him over the boards to go fight with somebody. I don't necessarily agree with that, and I think that the three-game suspension is pretty harsh, but nonetheless, it is what it is. You also look at Carol with the Checkers. They're also missing Roland McEwen. He's injured. They're also, you know, they're missing Fleury. So they're missing four defensemen that they've rolled at times during this season. So it's really going to be incumbent on the guys that are there. And they had some players help them finish out the season in Cleveland against the Monsters last week that played pretty well. So it's going to really be, the effort is going to really have to fall on the forwards to help out the back end and try to limit chances and manage the puck a little bit better. I talked to Mike Vellucci and he's like, look, we're down guys, we're a developmental league. And, you know, when players go up or players get hurt, we got to find ways to, you know, get more bodies in there and develop. And Vellucci was, you know, just like, hey, this is what it is. It's adversity. We got to face it. And if we're going to survive in advance, then we'll find a way to overcome it.
You mentioned forwards, and I was going to ask about, you know, some of the guys that the Canes fans are looking for next year and maybe later down in the future. But since you talked Mike Vellucci, I think that's a little more pressing for some Canes fans. Is what does the offseason hold for Mike Vellucci's future, and what might that mean for both the Checkers and the big club?
Well, let's not forget that Mike Vellucci is not just the head coach of the Charlotte Checkers. He's the assistant general manager of the Hurricanes. So, you know, I mean, he's got plenty of interest in both the big club and the minor league club. So I don't know that he wants to leave. We've had discussions off camera and just had, you know, some fireside chat sort of thing. And I think I think he likes it. You know, I think he likes his role here in Charlotte. I think he likes being a coach, and I think he also likes having the input at the big club level with, you know, when Rod Brindamore calls or Donnie Waddell calls, they're looking at him to say, okay, this guy is rolling well right now. If you need a call up, take him. This guy, I know you wanted to come up, but he's not ready yet. He's in a bit of a slump in his game. He's a straight shooter with those guys as anybody, you know? And so I'm not quite sure that Waddell's future is anywhere but within the organization, whether that's in Charlotte or back in Raleigh. But I think Mike Vellucci has proven that he is a valuable piece to what this franchise needs, both at the NHL level and the AHL level.
So, Mike, I need a prediction. How are the Checkers going to come out with so many bodies down, with all of that? If the Canes win on Wednesday night,
right
up there, and the Checkers don't get their bodies back, do the Checkers have enough horses to make a deep run in the AHL playoffs?
I think the Checkers have the horses to make a deep run because you start in the very back of the rink and you start in the goal, and that's where Alex Nedeljkovic has been. He's been incredible this season. He really, really has. He took the reins as the starting goaltender and never let go. And the guy's a workhorse. He's a really, really good pro. And he was recognized as the goaltender of the year in the A this year. Sure, their back end is missing some experience, but, you know, again, it's a developmental league. And you also look at their forwards now, and the Checkers forwards, starting with guys like Andrew Podorowski and Marty Natchez and Julian Gauthier and Nick Waugh. Morgan Geeky has played well. This kid, Mateos, is new on the scene, but really, he's stepped in and performed really, really well since coming on board.
Nick. Sorry, we can't. Every time we say his name, we can't. We've got to yell it. Sorry.
And you got Schilke. Nick Schilke's another guy that's played really, really well. And I don't know if I mentioned Morgan Geeky, another one that's contributing. So, you know, they're missing guys like Quokken and Schur. But I think that there's enough firepower in that team that they can score goals. And I think there's also enough stability in the back end, starting in the nets with Nedeljkovic, that they can keep goals off the board. So, I mean, they've got the right mix. And that's the beauty of what this franchise overall has done. And I'm talking about the old organization from the Hurricanes down to the Checkers, is that you notice that, you know, when Svechnikov went out, and Martinook was dinged up and Ferland was dinged up, and they picked up the phone and called Charlotte, and they sent up Patrick Brown. They sent up Bishop as well. And Wallmark as well. I think Wallmark's still up there, right? So, I mean, the guys have been going back and forth. Or Sorella, not Wallmark, Sorella. Guys have been going back and forth, and that's the beauty of it, is that they're playing the same system in Charlotte that they're playing in Raleigh. So when you pluck a guy from Charlotte and put him at the big club, it's plug and play. And, you know, there's no tricks, there's no gimmicks, there's nothing new that the big club's doing that the AHL team isn't doing. You know, so there is no thinking. They just continue to play the same way that they've been playing. The only thing that changes around them is the teammates and the size of the buildings.
Well, when it comes to changing a game, you may know something about that. You talked early in this interview that the Beer League Hockey in Charlotte is treating you well, but you did dress for the Carolina T-Birds earlier this year. How did that
go? I did.
How did that go? Did you have to learn new systems? What was that experience like?
I had to learn to get out of the way. Is what I had to do. Look, the Federal League is a fun league, and for a guy that's my age, and we'll just leave it at that. Those guys are fast. And I was really thankful that the Thunderbirds president and GM Scott Brand asked me to take part, and their head coach Andre Nietzsche, dynamite guy, and they got a room full of great guys. And they were in the midst of a record, near record. Well, they set the record in the Federal League, but they almost set the pro hockey record for consecutive wins, which I believe still belongs to Norfolk. But it was an absolute blast. I got three shifts. And that was three more than there was two more than I thought I was going to get. I knew I was going to get one, but I got three. I was pretty surprised with that. It was a lot of fun, and I've been back. I've actually been up to see those guys play three other times, once last season and then twice this year in addition to me playing. And when I've gone up there, they've thrown me on the bench as an assistant coach. So it's been I'm undefeated with the Thunderbirds, both as a player and a coach, so I have that going for me right now, which is nice.
Well, you got three more shifts in a professional hockey game than Manute Bol got when he played
for
the Indianapolis Ice. So you've got that going
for you. That's right, yeah. That's right, exactly. That was, you know, and it's tough to find equipment for Manute as well because they don't make shin guards that long.
Never thought I'd have an opportunity to bring up Manute Bol on a hockey podcast.
Well done. Well done.
Folks, you're listening to Mike Solarte, host of Spectrum News Chevy Sports Night. You can catch it every week at 10 or every weeknight at 10:30. Mike, let's shift the
and every weekend as well. Every weekend as well.
And every week. There we go. Sorry.
It's 7 days a week, baby. Hashtag no days off.
No, and hashtag why not us. So let's talk about hashtag why not us.
I like that one.
Let's go to game seven on the ice. Canes versus Caps. Mike, you're a known Chicago Blackhawks fan, having grown up and been abused into that sort of fandom. We hope that you one day eventually recover. But all of that said, you have seen some good winning teams over the last few years. After what you've seen out of the first six games, which is, you know, every team holding serve on their home ice, one game on each side having the other team been embarrassed and the other team coming back with an answer, what do you personally expect to see out of Game 7 up at the Cap Center, Arena, Bowl, whatever the hell they're calling it nowadays?
I expect to see a tight, tight hockey game. I don't expect to see more than four goals scored combined. I really don't. Because, you know, this is a game where everybody's going to have to be sharp. They're going to have to be doing their job. They're going to have to be marking their checks. They're going to have to be playing as correct a hockey as you can. And the only time you step out of line is if you've got an opportunity. If you find a breakdown, if you can create a breakdown, to create a scoring chance, that's when you break your system and you go into attack mode. And quite honestly, I've, you know, thought about game seven, you know, since the horn hit last night. And I, for some reason, I have visions of game seven against the Edmonton Oilers in 2006 and Justin Williams potting an empty netter to ice the game. And I have that same vision in my head, only it's Williams wearing a different number in a different color and doing it against his old teammates in Washington on Wednesday night. I can't shake it. I see a 3-1 final with an empty netter to ice the game, and I see Jay Willie doing the honors with the empty netter. Now what happens in the first 58 minutes, I couldn't tell you, but I for some reason I see Williams finishing it off with an empty netter because that's just what he does. And it, you know, honestly, the empty netter could be his third goal of the game too. I mean, it's with the way that he played in game six, I'm putting nothing past Justin Williams in game seven.
Well, it's going to be interesting too. Does Willis Reed's Svechnikov you know, walk out of that tunnel on Wednesday night to maybe light a fire, much like Jordan Martinook did. Mike, I'm kind of happy and maybe even sad to say this. I will actually be in your city for work tomorrow night at one of those local sports bars watching that game. So I will be enjoying a couple of cold beverages. Can you maybe suggest for myself and anybody else who's in the listening region, what are some good local Charlotte beers that I should maybe be washing down tonight's victory with?
Old Mech Brewing Company. They've got a nice place. And that's the thing. That's probably the one that I would recommend. But there are so many others. And quite honestly, I don't get out as much as I used to.
Even just a beer. You know, is there a good local Charlotte beer that I should be drinking if by chance the Canes do come out on the wrong end and I have to drink alone in my hotel room while weeping into this great local beverage?
Yikes! At that point, if it goes the wrong way, then any kind of rotgut will do. But if you want to celebrate, you want to get something that's gonna it's good when it hits the lips, right?
Yes.
So. Yeah, I would say, my recommendation is it would be to go to Old Mech.
I like Old Mech.
Old Mech Brewing Company.
Yeah. I like them. I like their wieners, and I like their schnitzel.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's a good place.
Gotcha. Folks, we'll just leave it at that, sure.
There you go. there it is. That's what we've been waiting for, the schnitzel jokes. Folks, you're listening to us. Mike, thanks so much. He is at Mike Solarte over on the Twitters. Follow him for all of the coverage of the Charlotte Checkers as they make their way through the AHL Calder Cup playoffs. Mike, we look forward to you coming back up to Raleigh for round two when the Carolina Hurricanes take on the New York Long Islanders. And we look forward to having you back on the podcast when those Checkers make it to the AHL Finals. Folks, make sure to watch Chevy Sports Night. Mike, thanks for coming on, man. Good to talk to you.
Guys, thanks for having me, and always keep me a seat in 328, would you?
You gotcha. Always good to have Mike Solarte back on the guest line. If you can't watch Game 7, I highly encourage you to pick up a ticket, go to Charlotte, watch Game 3, 7 o'clock, Checkers taking on the Providence Bruins, a live in-game update at the end of 1, Boston Bruins 2, Toronto Maple Leaf nothing. The worst lead in all of hockey, a 2-goal lead.
See, I would say the worst lead in hockey is a 3-goal deficit.
It's not a lead.
Oh.
Math is hard.
You're right.
thank you to Mike for coming on and hanging out with us for a little bit. I'll be in the Queen City tomorrow night. If anybody who's listening to this podcast, reach out to Section 328. I'll tell you wherever I'm watching the game. It's going to be somewhere in downtown Charlotte. I got a early morning 7:30 meeting on Thursday, so I'm hoping to have my hangover beaten by the time I walk into said meeting. The more friends who come out, the less likely that is of happening.
I'm like, how early do you have to start drinking for your hangover to be done that early? I know you're a professional, but sir,
Derek, what the folks may not know is we record this on Tuesday night, or to go live on Wednesday morning. You listen to our voices, clean, crisp, clear. We are professionals.
Crystal clear audio.
Crystal clear audio. Welcome to the AMSR version of Cheaters Never Win.
These are weird gel beads I'm rubbing on the microphone now.
Stop it. Stop it. We're going. All of a sudden, we're on a Reddit we don't want to be on.
Look, there are people who just rub weird things on mannequin heads and have millions of subscribers. Why not bring in a few extra bucks from some pre-roll ads?
No. No, I'm sure those people are fine. Stop it. You're weirding me out, Derek.
Receipt paper. Receipt paper. Okay.
Okay. You're weirding yourself out. All right. As you can tell, we're absolutely having a little bit of fun here tonight at the Section 328 Worldwide Headquarters. You want to have a little bit of fun as you watch Game 7. We encourage everyone to join the Sports Channel 8 Carolina Hurricanes watch party. It is at the downtown location, Glenwood South, of the Carolina Ale House, hashtag Ale Yeah. Hayes and the boys are going to be out there. Unfortunately, yours truly and Derek will both not be there due to actual work commitments, but the Sports Channel 8 guys will be there hosting you. So go see Hayes, Josh Goodson, Hayes Permar, Ben Swain. I don't know who else will be out there. But there'll be guys out there. Go out there. Have a little bit of fun with them. Derek, nice spot on the Sports Channel 8, the radio show this
weekend.
Thank you, sir. Happens every Saturday morning, 10 to noon. If you happen to be showering after you've been playing with your kids on a Saturday morning, best listen to in the shower in the nude. Speaking from personal experience.
See, now that I've been on the show recently, since you've started letting me know.
I was naked as a jaybird, covered in soap while you were on that spot at
11:40. See, I'm just glad that doesn't carry over to the podcast.
I saved my shower for 20 minutes, because like at 11:15, I'm like, I think I'm going to go shower, get cleaned up, get ready for the day. And then I was like, wait a second, nope, Derek's on the show. I got to wait.
So, Mike, I say this with all inflection intended. Thanks.
You're welcome. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me put the inflection. You're welcome.
Damn it. I haven't seen that movie yet. It's not an earworm for me the way it is for many other parents. Give me a year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's coming. So, Derek, also, I wanted to mention, as part of the Sports Channel 8 Network, if you have nothing to do Thursday evening, there is a great event coming up here in Raleigh.
Or if you have things to do, bail on them.
Yes. Thursday evening, there is a rally basically being held for the Carolina Courage from 5:30 to 7:30 downtown Raleigh at Union Station as kind of a kickoff for the Women's International Champions Cup that will be held in Cary in August. The Sports Channel 8, Oak City supporters, Raleigh City Sports, Sports Channel 8, I said them twice because there's so many of them. And probably even some of the Section 328 folks will be downtown at Union Station for this amazing kickoff event. The Carolina Courage, the championship team of the Carolinas right now. Carolina Hurricanes are working their way up, but did a great job last year. Very excited that the International Women's Champion Cup is going to be held right here in the Triangle this summer. So, that's right before everything kicks off, and we hope that you guys can make it out there. It is a free event, 5:30, 7:30, Union Station. By that point, your hangover from Wednesday night should have hopefully worn off, and everybody join us out there. It'd be great.
Absolutely. I mean, we love local sport, and the more premier events like this that are coming to the Triangle is just good for all of us sports fans.
Yes. Speaking of sporting events,
yeah.
Somehow, our crazy tailgate has turned into a bit of a sporting event. I'm not going to make this the NASCAR portion of the podcast. I did want to give a very heartfelt thank you to every single person who has come up and said, hey, I really enjoy the podcast. Come up and said, hey, your podcast really sucks. I wish you guys would figure out what the F you're doing. I'm just happy that just friends have come out. I've made a lot of really good new friends over the last couple of weeks. I've had old friends from old tailgates who have reached out to us. It's just been absolutely phenomenal. All of this stuff would not have been possible were it not for these sponsors. These sponsors aren't necessarily paying us any money. They've just said they want to be a part of it. What can they do to help? And they have delightfully provided free food and beverage for everyone. So I wanted to say a thank you to New Belgium RDU. I want to say a thank you to Johnny's Pizza out in Apex. I want to say thank you, a big thank you, to all of the folks over at Papa Murphy's who not only provided pizza for the end of the season tailgate and kicking off the playoffs. They could not be out there the last couple of games due to the fact of all of their ovens were at the big race down in Talladega. So they gave us gift cards to give away, and we gave some gift cards away to people. Bond Brothers came out and saw us. Just so many people that allowed us to create an environment where people could eat and drink for free, be relaxed, not have to carry out a bunch of food and a grill and all of this stuff. And it's just made this kind of magical, crazy thing happen.
It's been wonderful, and I will echo Mike's sentiment. I know it's been said once, but I'm going to say it because I feel the same way too. It's been amazing to walk up to a tailgate and say, I don't recognize a lot of these people. I love that. I think it speaks volumes to everyone who's already out there and just like, no, come by. You can make the tailgate what you want. If you want to hang by the sideline and just be near hockey fans, do it. If you want to, you know, chat it up with as many Canes fans as you can find, do it. We are happy to host these tailgates. A huge thanks to all of our sponsors. It's been wonderful. It was pointed out to us today that on the last podcast, we talked about Game 3 and how we expected kind of a, you know, low-key podcast. Maybe somebody shows up with, you know, a little bit of food, maybe a Bojangles tailgate pack or whatever, and there'll be some stuff to share. And we're seeing things all day, like, because we're all getting nervous in the 328 Slack. of like, oh boy, it's a playoff game. It's the first time in a decade. What do we do? And what time are we going to get there? And everybody starts like creeping up the time of when people are going to get there. And we start seeing reports from the first folks who showed up at 3:30 saying, ladies, gents, the lot's a lot more full than I thought. 4 o'clock, like, oh, hell, the lot's full. By the time, you know, we got out there at 4:30, 5 o'clock, whatever it was, like, our parking lot was pretty damn full. And there are 100, 150 people already out at the tailgate by the time most people get off of work on a regularly scheduled day. That type of energy, that type of enthusiasm from Canes fans has been evident in the parking lots, walking in the concourses, in the building during the games. And as Mike pointed out, taking those 30 to 45 minutes after the game in the parking lot to just drink it all in, the energy's been absolutely amazing. So we love hosting these tailgates. We hope more of you keep coming out, and we hope we have more opportunities in the next week and a half to come tailgate before games against the Islanders.
In the next 6 weeks, Derek. Live in-game update. On the scoreboard, noted bed sheet aficionado, John Tavares spots a goal. It's 2-1 Boston.
Ruh-roh.
About five minutes into the second period, I believe.
All right.
So, Derek, we could talk a lot more about all of these other things. Again, thank you guys for coming out. Thank you again to our sponsors. But folks who keep this podcast going are the Patreons and the people who send in their cheat mail. Gotta go get some cheat mail. What you got for me, Derek?
Oh, let's see what's first up on the machine here. This one from Jay Talley at Southern Jay Talley. How much money would Tom Dundon have to pay to get us in all black for Game 7?
There is no amount of money that Tom Dundon can do that because, what's the Washington owner's?
Ted Leonsis
is an asshole, and he would not allow it. So, no, okay. There is no amount of money. Derek, this one coming from Kevin Kohler at Kohler K08. My commute starts at 7 a.m. tomorrow. Will this episode be posted by then for you? Yes, Kevin Kohler. We will have this episode posted before Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. It's going to be up Tuesday night.
I also like answering your question that by the time they hear it, will have been in retrospect.
Exactly. Yeah, I liked how we kicked that off.
Way to ask me a question and answer it with your own time warp answer. I appreciate that, Mike.
Derek, I've got this one from a noted friend of the podcast and also currently rated number one in the Hurricanes Hug Draft Board.
Hmm.
Best hockey hugger of all Caniac fans. Our buddy Canalytics. Fondest memory, big or small, of the last four home games, Derek.
Okay, so Mike, I think I've learned my lesson from the last podcast. Because
let's see.
You went full sentimental dad, right?
Yes.
And you talked about how it's so amazing to share the playoffs with your kid.
Right.
And your wife.
Correct.
I've learned. I truly have. Like, by that time, it had been just the first couple away games, and I've seen Camden, my wife, get into the playoffs and was, you know, she kind of watched the end of game two, and then, like, game three, she saw it. She experienced it in person. Game four, she bought into the game and the nerves that were there. Mike, for the first time in the 8 years my wife and I have been together, she was incredibly excited, almost as much as I was, to watch a Hurricanes game on TV. Like, she was reading Kane's Twitter more than I was Friday and Saturday. That was amazing to me. So that culmination of the excitement coming off of game four into game five, and even though we lost, her excitement for game six, seeing the way that a playoff series can create a new fan of hockey. Like, she enjoyed coming to games because of the people that are there, and she knows a bunch of us. But she's in on the hockey now. And this is amazing. So that moment is really, really cool for me.
I like that moment. You were out in the concourse at one point when your wife scored. She was part of the row C
hug. Wait, my wife scored?
I know. It's shocking. she was so excited. I think I saw into her soul. It was amazing. Just that look of joy and jubilance.
That was the Tavo goal in game four.
Yes.
Yes.
I was there at your wedding. She wasn't that excited. I'm just saying.
The wedding was more expected.
Good point. For me, I'm going to go with a very special moment in game six. The Carolina Hurricanes have recently gone down 1-0, and it would be very easy to have sucked the wind out of all of PNC Arena.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unplanned. It wasn't anything that one person or a horn or anything did. It wasn't at the behest of a call out on the Jumbotron. At the drop of the puck, after the Canes went down 1-0, the Caniac Nation roared to life and basically said, "We will not go down without a fight. And we are going to raise up as one voice, surge together, and we are going to create the atmosphere that has benefited this team so much." And to see the, you know, 18,000-19,000 people, whatever the final number was last night in a sold out PNC arena, come together at that moment. Because again, over the last 10 years, you know, I'll take the Tuesday night game against Ottawa and you go down 2-0 and you can hear a pin drop for the next 10 minutes. For this team and this community to come fight back so hard was everything that I have hoped for and wanted every day since we lost that last series to Pittsburgh in 2009. And it was miraculous to see it back because it was organic, it was real, and you can say whether you agree with this or not, I think it had an impact to the team on the ice.
I agree. It's as everybody decided they had to man up. Mike, here's one, and there is a correct answer to this.
Okay.
From Senior Rictus at Mr. Rictus. By what percentage does the Hurricanes win probability increase if Svech is cleared for Game 7?
37%.
That is the correct answer.
Thank you very much. Derek, let's see here. Oh, this one. I like this one from C. Babcock 8, Canes Fan 8. Did a bunch of space aliens come and take Sebastian Aho's powers to use against the Looney Tunes in an interspatial hockey game?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you, C. Babcock 8. No, I don't think he was that bad in Game 5. I think earlier in the series, he may have been dealing with a nagging injury, as a lot of these guys are. He put a lot of shots on net, maybe not of the highest quality in Game 5, but Game 6, he played a good game. He still hasn't been 100% himself, but I think a lot of that credit goes to a combination of the Capitals' defense and matchups against the Aho line with tighter checking playoff hockey with which he is not familiar.
I think Sebastian Aho's battling a wrist injury.
Those take like 2 years to come back from.
Yeah, I know they're almost as bad as allergies. Pat Clark was sitting behind me last night and pointed out a couple of times where Sebastian Aho should have been on the dot to take a faceoff when he was not. And it wasn't because he was kicked off. And Pat said the only reason you don't take that faceoff is because your wrist isn't as strong as you would expect it to be. I would not be surprised if we hear that Sebastian Aho has been battling a wrist injury for the last 4 to 6 weeks. And has been just toughing it out and trying to do the best he can. I have no inside information for that, but as someone who knows hockey and views hockey at a different level than I do, I take that for what it's worth.
Well, it's my turn.
Oh, is it? Is it?
Right?
Go ahead. Why not? Take a turn.
Thank you. This is from my buddy Dustin Boudreau, and thank you, Dustin, for bringing up a delicious Cigar City beer for us to pass around at a tailgate. At Game 3, I believe it was. When Warren Fogel scores the game winner in D.C. on Wednesday, what will his statue look like outside PNC?
Good question. It'll be Warren just looking confused next to Hamilton the Pig.
Okay.
Because I don't know if have you seen all of the pictures of the guys next to Hamilton the Pig?
He looks the most skeptical of the pig.
Yeah, he looks kind of like huh? What am I doing here?
If I get closer, will it bite me?
Will it eat me? Derek, this one coming from the original OG, and I mean that as the original OG. He is at Spencer328. F. Mary Kill, Tampa Bay swept, Pittsburgh swept, Calgary loses 4-1.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, I am going to kill. Oh,
there's only one right answer to this one too.
Okay, all right, hold on. Let me piece it together. So it's F. Mary Kill, the Tampa, Pittsburgh, and Calgary series.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I am going to kill. kill Calgary losing in five.
Wow.
I'm going to marry Tampa losing in four. No, I'm gonna F Tampa losing in four, and I'm gonna marry Pittsburgh losing in four.
Ooh, explain yourself, young man.
So the Pittsburgh one is just delicious because I want the town of Cary to cry.
Okay.
Apologies if you live there and don't cheer for the Penguins. All three of you. The Tampa series, I would find it tastier from a want to stay with standpoint, but I love the fact that Yarmo is getting rewarded for going out and having a backbone on trade deadline day. So I like that, but it's not the same level of savoriness as the Pittsburgh series. And the Calgary one, for as much as I wanted Bill Peters to lose, and I like many of the other 328 crew, just have a fondness for the Avs, I wasn't as emotionally invested in that one.
Yeah, So
you said there was one correct answer.
And again, I think you may have, Derek, you're going to be shocked to hear this. I think you may have changed my thoughts on this because I was going to say absolutely kill Tampa because, again, that team has been so fun to watch from just a pure skill, pure hockey standpoint, just watching, something that is amazing and beautiful all season. I wanted to marry that. Or, I'm sorry, I wanted to kill that because I didn't want that one to happen. But, you know, you have incited hashtag pure chaos.
Hey.
And by rewarding Jarmo Kekalainen and particularly making next year's trade deadline day even more exciting. So you've completely switched me around. So I'm going to do something I generally never do. And I'm probably going to have to, cry in game shower about this later. But I'm just going to agree with you.
I don't know what to do with my hands right now, Mike. I think maybe I should just read
that was actually a cheat meal question, Derek. What do I do with my hands?
Got no idea. Car ran good. From Andrew at @DLasky_12, respect the underscore. Since there have been all the awesome hype at PNC Arena, I have a non-hockey question for the two of us. If you could do the tour and hit every stadium or arena in sports, which would you pick outside of hockey? MLB, NFL, NBA, heck, even college football.
So do I get to pick just one or one from each? Let's just pick one for expediency sake. We're almost at, so if I can pick just one and I'm going outside of the NHL, I am a huge, huge lover of Major League Baseball ballparks. While I am not a huge lover of Major League Baseball, I think a day at the ballpark is great because I don't necessarily have to pay full attention to the game, but I could take in the ambiance and everything that is around the game. It's gotta be Wrigley, right? I've been to Fenway and I wasn't really impressed because it really is an old school bandbox. So I'm going to say Wrigley. Actually, no, I'm going to change that.
Go on.
Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Okay.
I think it is one of the most unique venues in all of sports because it is one of the leading programs of any athletic endeavor, and it is still a sub-10,000 seat bleacher sort of arena. It's kind of like saying my Raleigh Monkey and I were having a conversation going, man, I would really love to see Foo Fighters, but I don't want to see Foo Fighters with 150,000 people. I want to see Foo Fighters at the Ritz. I want to see David Grohl playing in front of Pike Place Market or Pike Street Market like he did the other day, just randomly, right? That's kind of what Cameron Indoor Stadium is. Mm-hmm. And I've never, again, we'll go to the sentimental. I haven't had a chance to take my kid to Cameron Indoor Stadium. I look forward to the one day I get to do that for him. I get to do that with him. What about you? I mean, and let's take out, you've been to the Shoe.
I have.
You've done the Shoe. So let's
Can I do it out. Again?
No.
All right.
No. We're kicking out the Shoe. Go. Take something else.
I'd probably stick with college football because the other, like, the NFL, to me, I feel like those stadiums are pretty homogenized.
Save Lambeau.
Yes.
Lambeau Field's probably the only one.
Yeah. While I don't like baseball, I do like the individualized aspect of the ballparks and the different feels you'll get at each one. But I like college football the most. I would probably stick with college football. And if I can't say the Shoe again, give me a game at the Rose Bowl.
Good call.
It's a beautiful stadium. The weather's almost always nice because it's Southern California. As Lewis Black said, easiest job in America, weatherman in San Diego, California. What's it going to be like? Nice. Back to you. And it's the granddaddy of them all. So give me a game at the Rose Bowl.
I like that. Derek, last one from this mic. This one from former Section 328er and current Boston resident at Benjamin Moser. Section 328, I have two. Why? After a season where I felt like we had 40-plus life-or-death games, am I feeling so unreasonably comfortable with Wednesday night? Part one of the question. I'll let you answer the first part.
I think it's because a lot of the things we've said, this team has shown more than I think we expected. We've seen some losses. We've seen some wins. I don't know before the season we could have asked for more. You know, and even going into these playoffs, we've won three games. We've had a respectable showing for a team that is still young and building. Like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. I would agree that we've used the term we're playing with house money. And I would agree that we're playing with house money. But I think at this point we've asked, this team has delivered everything we've asked of it. And we can't rightfully ask anything else of it, which is why I think we win tonight. Because tonight they don't win for the Caniacs and the 19,000 plus we're screaming for them. Tonight when they play the Washington Capitals inside of the Capital One Event Center, whatever the hell it is, I think they win for each other, which has been the entire story of this season. Derek, last part from Benjamin Moser. F and Mary. Winning game seven, winning game seven, winning game seven. Where are you going with this?
I'm going to go with yes.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to F winning game seven. I'm going to Mary winning game seven. I'm going to F then Mary winning game seven. So glad we could agree there. Derek, what's in your glass?
Ooh, I'm glad you asked. So as I knock the microphone out of my way, in this week's episode of the Bottle Mix Beer Review, and if you haven't been to Bottle Mix yet to pick up some beers to come to a tailgate, today's the perfect day to go to Bottle Mix to get the beverage, whether it's beer, whether it's wine, and whether that wine is bubbly or not, depending on if you plan on celebrating or you just like bubbly with all your foods, because bubbly is incredibly versatile. Go to Bottle Mix. You know where they are. You know they're on Creedmoor Road, a mile south of 540, and several miles north of Crabtree Valley Mall. Go in there, talk to Bruce, talk to Ron, talk to Vinny, talk to Ellen, talk to all the good people there. They'll make sure you get a beverage that is suitable to enjoy the game or just the weekend or whatever the hell you want. They're going to take care of you. So today, they have taken care of me with the Bills Brewing from Wilmington, North Carolina, because it is still April and it is still North Carolina Beer Month. This is Tactical Tie-Dye. Surprise,
ooh,
a New England IPA, because I love New England IPAs. And they're still delicious. So this one is a New England style IPA, according to the can, with additions of Galaxy, Azaka, Amarillo, and Lemon Drop hops. For New England IPAs, this one, it's not as cloudy and as like bright yellow as some. It does pour a little bit deeper, not even orange, but just like a golden sort of color. Not much of a big head on the beer, but it smells.
It laces well, though. I mean, like the lacing on that glass is like a very thick stout. Which let me get a little bit of that.
Why don't you do that? Because I think it's just like it's citrusy. It's almost a little like rounded to it. It's not a sharp.
I don't hate it, which says a lot for an IPA.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's good. There's a very nice citrus component. I mean, the hops that are in here, you're going to get your stone fruits. There's like an apricot-y sort of taste.
I actually get the apricot.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's like some orange, the lemon drop hops give it a little bright citrus, but then it finishes with a nice bitterness that's not like sucking all the moisture out of your mouth, but it makes you want another sip of this beer, which is really, really nice because I like good beer and I want to drink more good beer. This guy checks in at, I'm looking at the can here to see the ABV on it. So the beer is called Tactical Tie-Dye, and of course the whole thing is tie-dyed. Ah, there we go. It checks in at a very nice 6.9% ABV.
Nice.
Really good stuff. Go in, see all the good folks at Bottle Mix, say I want some Tactical Tie-Dye from Bill's. If they happen to be out of this beer, they can recommend another good New England IPA or a stout like Mike would like.
Or you know what I really enjoy this time of year, Derek? Good cider. Lots of good local ciders as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe a good, nice, crisp cider. I prefer the dry ciders, much less, you know, not as much with the really sweet ciders, but the good, really traditional kind of Irish dry ciders. Big fan of those. Those are really good this time of year.
You're throwing some you know, it's getting like seafood season. You want to throw some seafood on the grill.
Yeah.
Got good white wines, good rosés to go with that. Whatever you want, Bottomix will take care of your beverage needs.
Yeah. The cans are going to take care of all your needs tonight, folks. Everybody, thanks for listening. We look forward to next week when we get to do the round two edition of the Cheaters Never Win Hockey Podcast. But
yeah,
for tonight,
yeah,
it has been our absolute pleasure to stand behind these mics and have a conversation with you guys that we've grown to know and love so well over the last seven seasons. So thank you guys for being part of our family. Please, if there are more hockey games to be had at the PNC Arena, come out to the East Lot, make your way up to the Section 328, climb the stairs, come to OC, find the gangly, unathletic-looking guy, find the formerly fat guy who is trying his damnedest to keep off the pounds and struggling with it every day because tailgates are hard, y'all. But guess what? Thank you guys for listening. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to our Patreons. Thank to you guys. Rate, review, subscribe, do what you do. But most importantly, Canes just fucking win. Until round two, my name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
We're out of here.
Pyo!